What great music. Isn't the worship good? You know, a few weeks ago, the Lord showed me something so real that we can very careful, if we're not careful, we'll get the wrong perspective on worship like we've had in here, but we've got the right perspective. I'm not saying we're the only ones. There are millions that are. But worship isn't about us when we sing. Worship is about pleasing God. And when we please God, then he manifests his presence back to us. And then we are absolutely supernaturally charged by the presence of God as we please him in worship. So we're not worshiping because it's good for us. We're worshiping because we love God and we want to please him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That was pretty good. It was pretty good. Say amen one more time, would you? Oh, good. That's better. I want to talk to you this morning about the human nature and the characteristics of being human. If you're human today, say amen. That was a strong one. Sometimes we say that, and we say it in a way that it's a connotation of weakness. Well, I'm a human. I'm only human. And all of these things. But you have to also understand that you are the supreme creation of the one and only Almighty God. So there's not just any only about you as a supreme creation of God. God created man to worship him and to give him praise, to have communion with him and become close to him. We see when Moses was leading the children of Israel, when he would go to the tent of meeting and the Shekinah glory of God would come out and settle on that tent like a smoke cloud, and children of Israel would stand at their doors, at the entrance of their tents, and they would look and they would listen to Moses speak to God as one friend speaks to another. He's giving us a foreshadow there of what we have in Jesus today. We can go to Jesus and speak to him as one's friend speaks to another. Someone asked me one time, how do you pray? I don't know. Do you read it? Do you memorize it? Is there something you can get a book on it? I said, no, talk to him like you would your best friend. And when you did, you're going to find out he'll respond to you in the same way. Let me talk to you about a situation today. Now, this isn't, don't let the title influence you, because there's a lot of good things coming today from this message. But in the fact that we are human and the fact that we live our life every day in a real world, there are times when we look around at the world and we hear things. We hear things about America, and I'm going to primarily talk about this country and the church today. We hear things, we see the media that controls how much of whatever comes in based on their moral values. And one of the moral values of the media is not Jesus in the media. We have to go to private institutions or private networks primarily. But I'm going to tell you that the country that we're living in today started out with the premise of "In God We Trust," and today still has that premise in our everyday walk. But in our world today, when we listen to statistics, and if you get caught up on statistics, you have got to understand that God is not in statistics. I've told you many times before, but I'll tell you, when I was just a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old, and my brother was 2 years younger, and we went to the hospital to see my mother, who was dying and did not die, but we thought, they thought, they said. And a doctor came out and met my father in the hall. He was holding both my hand and my brother Steve's hand, who's watching this morning, holding our hands. And the doctor said to my father, he didn't say Pastor Conley or Mr. Conley, just said Conley, said, "Your wife only has one chance in 100 of living." And my father, being a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal preacher, just looked at the doctor and said this, Doctor, with God, I only need 1% is all I need. You see, statistics don't work in the favor like men think about them as God. Statistically today, if you listen to the media, you would believe that our country believes things that's really not accurate or the statistics are skewed. Amen? We hear things and believe that we're going a different direction. And so if we listen to them, and I talked to one young lady one time, and I said, where did you get those facts? This is an honest quote. She said, well, from the media, we got it from Google, and you know Google can't lie. And everybody's laughing right now at that. But when we look at the world, many times we look at it in a feudalistic approach. Look, people have stopped serving God like they used to. The honor of God isn't in our society. Sundays aren't anything other than another day of the week. Churches have crumbled in their stance against holiness and stands for holiness and against sin. We see the circumstances around us today, and it begins to have on an approach of it's futile. Now, futile means pointless or useless to try to change. But don't let that happen to you as a child of God. I'm reminded back in the first chapter of the third chapter of 1 Samuel, the story of the calling of Samuel by God. When he was just a boy, and there he was in the presence of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. I'm telling you, they were in a place that would look futile. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, had degraded and broken the holiness of God, and the temple was really a joke. And many times today, the world looks at the church as a joke because of the sin that's infiltrated the church. We don't know right from wrong or good for evil, and we're divided on questions in the church today that shouldn't be questions at all. Sin has not changed. It continues to be sin. And this young boy that was put in that place by his mother's gratitude for God. Hannah was barren, and God gave her a son, and she took Samuel to be a temple worker under Eli. The word of God says that one night Eli, whose eyes were, this is verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. One night Eli's eyes, who were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Read slow, always look at this, in his usual place. That's a problem that we see in the world today, that we go to that usual place where we stand, what we believe, what we trust, and where we are with God. In his usual place, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down. Listen to where he was lying down. In the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now, I want to tell you something. Use all the symbolism you can or in your mind you possibly can today. But look at the two different areas. Eli, the chief priest, he's not in a place in the presence of God. He's in his usual place. He's stuck in that religious rut, knowing that his two sons are living godless lives and leading Israel into debauchery. He hadn't changed. He hadn't moved out of it. Even it looked to him futile because he couldn't influence his sons. And then there is the life of this boy. He's a boy. His name's Samuel. But he stayed in the promised temple area. He stayed in the area where the covenant of God was. He was there to make sure the lamp of God never went out. He slept near the presence of God. That's where we have to sleep today. That's where we have to live and breathe and eat, in the presence of God. So as he was there in the temple lying down when the ark was, then the Lord called Samuel. Now, you say, I've heard this many times. Listen closely again. God's call on Samuel was so specific and so absolute that Israel hadn't seen anything like this before. What had happened was God had someone that was offering their life as a living sacrifice to him. Someone that was saying, I'm going to stand for you regardless of what it looks like in the world around me. Listen to me, it's not futile to stand up for Jesus. It's not futile to believe that God is going to change the circumstance of America. It's not futile to believe sin is in control and God isn't. God is in control of every fiber and every movement that happens in this nation today. But he's given men the opportunity to move toward him or away from him. And Samuel chose to move toward God. That's your choice. Today, you can stay in your usual place, or you can move into the presence of God and understand that there's a power in the Holy Spirit of God that's greater than all of the futility we see around us and the hopelessness we see around us. It would be impossible to believe that one little boy in the temple was the answer to the nation of Israel, but it was what God did, and that was God's plan. So God began to call Samuel. The Bible says that Samuel ran to Eli, thinking it was him, and he said, here I am. Three times this happened. He goes back, he said, lay down, it's not me. The second time, he runs to Eli. I heard the voice of someone calling my name. He didn't yet understand what was going on. The third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel, and Samuel ran and got up and ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, you call me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and he told Samuel, listen to what he told him. He said, go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord. Listen to this. Speak, Lord. Talk to me. I'm here to receive. But what he said was so important. Speak because your servant is listening. It's so important that we learn to listen to God. It's vital that we learn to listen to God. We may not recognize the voice of God right off, but if we'll humble ourselves and say, God, speak, I'm listening. I'm not telling. I'm not following anything else. I'm purely giving you my attention, and I'm asking you, God, listen in your personal walk today with Jesus. It's more important to listen than it is to talk. Listen to what he has to say. And the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. Listen to what he's saying. His sons blasphemed God and failed. Listen to this. He failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Eli had reached that point that God knew that he was never going to change the circumstance. Now, I'm telling you this. I don't believe that we are predestined. I'm not Calvinistic in that approach. I have brothers that believe that, but I believe we have a free will. But in that free will, God being omniscient knows when, and listen to me, he knows when you're not going to change. He knows when you're going to. And his mercy endures until he knows that there's no change. And Eli had not changed to that point, and he had no plans to change. He couldn't control his sons, and he allowed the futile situation that he was in to overwhelm him and to lose his authority and his power as a chief priest in the temple of God. He wouldn't stand up. He couldn't stand up, and he allowed it to go on. Samuel laid down till the morning. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but he was afraid to tell Eli this vision. Of course, Eli said to him, tell me what it was. I want to know. I want to know, and if you don't tell me, I want the curse to come on you that you're telling me about from God. So Samuel laid it all out. He listened to this. This is what's so phenomenal. The first time God spoke to Samuel, the very first time he spoke to Samuel, he spoke to him in a prophetic word that was absolutely incomprehensible. He spoke to him and said that I'm going to bring judgment on the house of Israel. It wasn't because God was mad. I want you to understand this. His love and mercy is enduring and incredible. But God said, it's time to clean up the church. It's time to clean up the temple. And if he won't do it, if Eli won't follow the course God's giving him, I'm bringing a prophet up. And listen to me, in America today, God is bringing up his prophets, not just a voice. There's 1,000 voices out there. That was what was going on in the temple now. A bunch of religiosity. Nothing holy. It was a scam compared to what God wanted. And it was all human and being. But God said, there's something coming, and it's going to come through my prophets, and I'm going to show you the power of God, because I want Israel to be a nation that's clean and holy before me. And I believe this in America today. I believe God's calling prophets around the country, and they're speaking the word, and God's word is going to be fulfilled, and God's going to clean up the church. I've heard this, and I'm so tired of it's going to happen and going to happen. I believe we're in the middle of it right now. I believe God's stripping away the gods of America and opening us back up to a place in relationship with him. And he's doing it through children and childlike faith and men and women that'll stay close to the anointing of God. And he's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. And then he fulfills it, and it validates that prophet in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. It was an incredible thing. We get so caught up in God audibly speaking to Samuel, we forget to think about what God told Samuel, what he was going to do, the message that he gave this young man, that he had to deliver to Eli. He was out of his element. He was a boy. He wasn't grown, but he gave him the prophetic word, and several years passed now. And Eli continued to okay the actions of Hophni and Phinehas. But there was a day when God's judgment was coming. I'm sure and I'm confident that there are times when Samuel became lonely. I'm sure there are times when he became a little despondent. I'm sure there were times when he looked at the temple for the next few years as God was growing him to a place. And he looked at it and said, it's futile. It's not getting better. God gave me a word, but nothing's changing. Listen to me. When God gives you a word, his timing produces the fruit of that word. And when you see things around you, in your home, in your children, in your family, in your health, and it looks futile to you, I'm going to tell you that you have a God that's making an escape from futility in your life. He's going to show you how to escape what looks futile to you, hopeless and pointless, and bring you into a place of power and authority through his word in your life. I love to read the story of 1 Samuel chapter 3, because at the very end, there are people saying, well, God's never appeared to me. Jesus has never spoke to me. He's never stood at my bed. I know there are people that has had that experience. I have friends that have. But he's never done that to me. So how did he continue to speak to Samuel? The same way he speaks to you today. Listen, you have to continue to read. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Now here's years that are passing since that prophetic word. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued. Now this is the place we don't read, but this is this will knock you off your feet because it's relevant today. Listen to what he said, that he continued to appear at Shiloh, and he continued to reveal himself to Samuel, look how, through his word. That's the part we don't read. That's the part we don't understand. We're looking for God to come and manifest himself, Jesus, to manifest himself in our room and give us some word that's so sure that we don't have any doubt. But the word of God said that he continued to speak to and reveal himself to Samuel through his word. Listen to me, nothing's changed today. If you can grasp what I'm telling you, get in the word of God, because it's in the word of God that he's going to reveal himself and his purpose and his plan and his direction for your life. Nothing's changed. When you look at our nation today, it would be easy to see the outlook as futile, just as it was in Samuel's day. However, God's perspective is this, that he's calling. He's calling prophets today. He's calling men and women today. He's speaking to them in the night hour. In the middle of futility, in the middle of the overwhelming numbers and statistics that we live by, we are statistically sick and crippled. And then we allow statistics to overrule the power of God. It'd be easy to look that way. However, from God's perspective, he's calling men and women to follow him, to listen to his word, to be led by him, directed by him. His message then is the same message he's preaching today. He wants to cleanse the temple, not only you as individuals, and that's happening. Believe me, God is cleansing men and women of the sin and the wrongness in their lives. The Holy Spirit is pointing it out and people are responding. But the temple of the church, he's cleansing the church today. When I was thinking about Samuel, growing up, and how he would lead Israel later on in battles, he would direct them in the battles, being led as a prophet of God. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me that's so powerful to me. This is what he said: there's never been a battle without bloodshed. Never. There's never been a battle without bloodshed. But in your case, somebody point the finger back and say, in my case. Would you do that? Don't feel silly. Say, in my case. You see, every case of law has a point in it. It has the situation that's going on. So you say, in my case. Listen to this. There's never been a battle without bloodshed, but in my case, as a child of God, the blood has already been shed. Man, the blood's already been shed. The victory has already been determined. It takes somebody that's going to stand up under righteousness, not the morals of the world, not even the morals of the church, but the morals of the word of God, and listen to the word of God and say, God, count me. I'm listening to your call, and I want you, God, to do something in my life. And I want you to know that his blood will give you the victory. His blood that's already shed will give you the power over the enemy. And his blood will cause you from going to futility and looking how futile things are around to what God said he was going to do. And I know what he said he was going to do to me. And I know what he said he was going to do to the church. And you know what God's told you. And listen to me. God is going to keep his word in supernatural, unbelievable ways. God's going to. God did not tell Samuel to leave. He didn't tell him to run. He didn't tell him to give up. He said, I want you to stay where you are, and I want you to do what you do stay strong and stay near the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then I'll take over and I'll do what needs to be done. When we read these Bible stories, quite often, it's so easy for us to say, well, yeah, that was in those times. We see David killing Goliath. We see Daniel in a lion's den. We see Joseph imprisoned. We see the situations of all of these great men and women of God that stood in those times, and we, for some reason, think that that's wonderful and that's what God did at that time, how God used these men and women. We see the supernatural acts of God through them and know that God did these great things in their lives. But there's some points I want you to consider this morning. I have five thoughts I want you to consider this morning. Number one, the Jesus now was the Jesus then. He's the unchanging God. Nothing's changed. He's the same God he was in the day of Samuel, when he was reconstructing the nation of Israel, when he was refiguring and had a plan to bring Israel back into relationship with him, and he did. He used one boy that was surrendered to him to change the nation and bring them back, to filter out those things that were anti-God, anti his law, the lawbreakers and the righteousness in their own eyes, but the sin in the eyes of God. He used that boy to clean that nation up and bring them back to a place of God. And that God that did that then, the Jesus that works today, believe it or not, is the same Son of God that worked in the day of Samuel. Nothing's changed. The second point is how God used people then is how he's using people today. That's unbelievable. Those stories were written for eternity. You have no idea when we get to heaven the stories that we're going to hear God say, and the stories that are going to be unveiled to all of us, how God supernaturally worked through someone who stayed near the covenant, stayed near the promise, kept the light of God on in their life, and wasn't swayed by people or organizations or anything. And I'm not saying anything's wrong, but I'm saying man's ideology. They weren't swayed. They stayed close to the temple of God. They stayed close to the Spirit of God. And if you'll do that today and stay close to the very Spirit of God, you're going to see that the same God that used them will use you in the same great ways and supernatural ways. Thirdly, how God chose them then. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. Good. Listen closely. How God chose men and women then was not some divine random call or stick his hand in the box and grab a name. How he called them then is exactly how he's choosing people today. Do you hear me? How God chose men like Samuel and David. How he chose men like Abraham and Isaac. He chose them because of their heart. Even in ignorance, even in misunderstanding, but he knew their heart was for God. And listen to me today, when you aren't influenced by what people say, even religious people that have connotations of religiosity, but they kill and destroy people. When you're not influenced by doctrines that have compromised the Word of God, when you're not influenced by the morals of the world, which is no morals, but you're influenced by the presence of the Almighty God, the same method that he used to choose people then is exactly the way that he's choosing people today. And that can be you as easily as it was Samuel. Let me tell you something else today. Listen close to me. What caught God's attention was Samuel. is exactly the same thing that God's attention is caught by today. What Samuel did, the way he lived. He could have enjoyed for a small time. He could have joined in Hophni and Phinehas. He could have looked at them as influences on their life because they were in the house of God. But he knew it wasn't holy. He knew it wasn't right. Let me tell you something about a child of God that you are. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit begins to tell you this isn't right, you need to understand that it isn't right. When he needs to warn you, even people that you may trust and believe, when he begins to tell you this isn't right, you need to understand and get away from that. God chooses people today exactly like he chose Samuel in that day. What caught God's attention that day catches God's attention today. The attention of holiness, separation, of love for God, not indulging in sin, or even the religious sin that's creeped into the church today. And I'm going to tell you something else that you're going to see more and more of. The supernatural ways God used those men and women, he's using today. He's using his supernatural ways to change, not to affirm himself, not to cause authenticity in him, but it's a truth that God's using because he's unchanging. His power hasn't changed. He's looking for the same character. He's looking for the same heart. He's looking for the same person that Samuel was. And you have complete control. You have 100% control. 100%. Well, you don't know what I'm fighting. You don't know. I know the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. Did you hear what I said earlier? Did you listen to what I said? There's never been a battle fought without the shedding of blood. But when you go to battle for righteousness and holiness in your life, the blood's already been shed. The blood of the cross of Jesus Christ for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, and I'm reading from the NIV right now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says this: there is one body and one spirit. Listen to this. I'll decode this for you as I go. One body's the church of God. It's what God's using. There is one body. There's not splinter groups. There's one body. When we get to heaven, it's the bride of Christ, and we're one in Jesus. If you can say amen, say it then. There's one spirit. That's a capital S, and that means the Holy Spirit. There is no other way to gain power and strength in God. Any other way, you cannot gain it from emotionalism or sensationalism or fanaticism. You can't do it. It comes through one way, one spirit. Just as we're called to one hope, there's one hope that's in Jesus. When we were called, listen to this. This is a universal calling to you. Ephesians saying, when you were called, you're called into one body and by one power of one spirit and one hope. And then chapter 4, verse 5 says this. One Lord, that's Jesus. My goodness gracious. Aren't you glad Jesus is all you need? Amen. One Lord, Jesus. What did Thomas say when he went in that night? He'd been gone. And when Jesus materialized himself in a supernatural state after the resurrection, walked into the place of those very frozen in fear disciples that were going to grow because everything I'm preaching today was getting ready to come out in their lives. And there's people today that are frozen in this futile outlook of everything. But Jesus is speaking and he's walking in. And when Thomas stood that second visit and saw him, he fell at his feet and he pronounced two things that's irrefutable about Jesus. He said, my Lord and my God. God. That's who he is. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's God. The Lord, verse 6 says this. One God and the Father and Father of all. This is God the Father. Right here in the scripture, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's saying nothing's changed. That's how it is, that's how it was, and that's how it's going to be. The same God that took care of Samuel is the same God that will take care of you. The same God that called Samuel will call you. The same Holy Spirit that enabled Samuel to prophesy the words of God will be the power that gives you the power to prophesy the words of God. The same anointing that was on Samuel is on you, because all of these things have come through the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, who is over all and through all, in all and in all. That means in us, in everything we have, in everything we're about. God is the same then as he was today. He didn't call Samuel to leave. He didn't call him to give up. He didn't call him to run. He called him to stand and watch the anointing of God through the word of God in his life speak the truth that would come true and it would lead Israel back to a place of repentance. My friends, listen to me. God may not have called you to lead a nation. And then I believe there are people watching today that God has called as world leaders. And he's put that anointing on you. He's put his word in you. And even when it looks futile, you stayed and you will continue to stay strong and watch God through his word speak through you, and then have it come to pass as he says, not in a point of vengeance, not in some type of fear doctrine, but in one of mercy and love that's bringing the church back to where it should be. But listen to me, if God doesn't call you to lead a nation, he's calling you to lead the people that you have influence over in your life, your children and their children, your cousins, aunts and uncles, nieces, nephews, your friends that you work with and live around, your neighbors. God has called you with an anointing, and he's given you the power through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, and through himself to give you the power to change the world in a futile world that we live in. The message is entitled The Escape from Futility. There is a way out when it looks futile. It's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. He's calling you. You may not recognize the call right now. You may hear it, but run to people and say, what is this? What's going on? And someone that's wise in God will say, just go back. And when he speaks to you again, say this, listen to me. Speak, because your servant is listening. And then begin to listen. He may unload something on you. And it was years after he told Samuel before it happened. But Samuel just stayed close to the covenant agreement. That's what we have to do. He's going to use you. He's called you. He's going to use you. You need to stay close to the covenant agreement that Jesus has on your life. I know you will. Father God, I want to thank you today for your word. I want to thank you, God, for the fact that you call everyone. God, a little boy in a temple, Eli finally recognized it was you calling him. The most insignificant by the standards of the church and by religion that day. And I'm going to tell you something. As he listened, he paid attention. As he paid attention, you guided him. And you didn't allow one word that he spoke to fall to the ground. Because you spoke to him through your word. Nothing's changed. God, we hold close to your word. We hold close to the holiness and the righteousness that you've dictated out of love to us. And we have determined to follow those holy ordinances and watch what you do through us to change the environment around us. I thank you today, God, that we do have the escape from futility and the hope of the power of God in our life. Now, God, bless everyone that's watching. Strengthen them. God, give them this word that they can hold on to and stay true to you and watch what you do. God, we give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.